Rock.
Listen, listen. Let's just start this shit. All right. Welcome to another episode of Fuck Your Feelings. I'm your host, BC. You got the homie, Smitty. Jay Knowledge on the line. Let's get into some shit, fellas. So why do you look like that?
Who?
Why both of y'all look like that? Smitty look at other disbelief, and you look like you just smoked the fattest blunt in the world.
But it's not legal in Illinois yet, so I would never partake in such activities.
Well, it's about to be legal, so how you feel about that?
Oh, in January, yes. Then I will still not do it because it will. I could possibly get fired from my job.
You know, I read an article about that, though, that companies are laxing their employment standards, like dismissing stuff on drug tests, dismissing people background, and taking education as a requirement. Like, I'm like, we spent all this fucking money, and you telling me that I ain't need no fucking education? And now they are literally saying they're taking education off they did a survey that last year on Indeed, you know, there were 750,000 employers that required a bachelor's degree or above, right? Now they're like, that's down to half.
I can see that.
And they've taken off the high school diploma and equivalent.
Okay.
I see that.
But to me, as our society, because they're saying it's a talent shortage. And I don't understand how it's a talent shortage because, you know, I know some people on this call have been looking for a job for a long time, for over 2 years, and still haven't found one. I know my friend that's in California that has been looking for a job for fucking 5 years and have not found one. And everybody says it depends on your industry, right? Like, I was talking to somebody else, they're saying accountants. Like, there's a shortage of accountants, right? And I understand that. I understand that because nobody really understands what accountants do unless you're in a fucking account, right? And so it's really kind of odd that the accounting industry hasn't shifted to something that they can have in there, that they can fill this gap shortage, right? Like there's not a lot of assistant accountants, right? Like there's not a lot of, like where every job you find somebody to like back somebody up, right? Like I remember when doctors were first out, they found nurses, right? Nurses were doctors' assistants. Now nurses have freaking assistants because they push stuff down because they have to fill a gap, right? And accountants don't do that. They don't push stuff down. I'm like, definitely got a shortage. Like your accountant should really be like the final step, right? You can get any number person to punch some numbers in and do some data entry, and all the accountant has to do is make sure to do the final check, right? But that hasn't evolved yet.
Well, no one is like to me, and you know, correct me wrong. You find very few people because of what was pushed in their schools from rearing. Find very few people that's interested in numbers that way.
Mm-hmm. And,
I mean, just like accounting can be really heavy, focused, attention driven numbers, but it also can be really interesting, especially when you get to like forensic accounting, like finding mm-hmm. what. Money win or finding, you know, the problem solved, you know. So I think they need to just teach. Like, there's certain shortages in careers that you just start building up from grad school on. I say, hey, this is a career that you should be interested in. This is what may be interested in a part of this career.
I don't disagree with that. Like, I don't disagree with that. But I think we're in a different mindset in general, where kids are trying to do YouTube and be YouTubers and reality stars versus actually getting a physical job, right? Where I know my uncle told me when I was growing up that I shouldn't have been an accountant. Like, I had two things in my ear. My dad said I should have went to school for computers. That's when you went to computer school. And my uncle said I should be an accountant to make money off of other people's money. And I was like, I don't want to be an accountant. Like, and I love math. Like, I was a math, you know, I love math. Except for Calc 2, fuck Calc 2. But I love math. And I should have probably been an accountant. But, like, I'm not, now I'm going, you know, like, I'm learning how to program and do stuff like my father told me I should have done when I was in school. Because I would have been a different, I would have been in a different space today.
Yeah.
You know, have been developing for, we graduated in 2000, I graduated in 2005. So, 14 years.
Yeah,
I'd have been in a different space. I'd have been in a totally different space, you know. And so, I just think I think that the kids nowadays don't have structure or perspective. And I'm definitely not saying that their parents aren't educated, because a lot of people in our generation are educated. I think it's the fact is that the student loan crisis has discouraged parents from sending their kids to school.
Well, you know? I mean, the student loans is ridiculous. The payback of student loans is ridiculous. And I think this generation is going to be the first in, like, many that just didn't buy into the hype of going to college. Like, our generation was the hype of everything on TV we saw every day was college, whether it was Fresh Prince, whether it was A Different World, whether it was Saved by the Bell, whether, like, whatever we was watching, somebody somewhere was going to college. So it just kept pushing that idea of college to us. These kids today, everything to them is about finding the bag, getting to the money, being your own self-starter, which I appreciate. So, like, all these kids are going to running to the YouTube to be YouTubers and to be Instagram famous, making hundreds of thousands of dollars to post comments and videos, being a content creator. Listen, I appreciate that. But like you said, I think it's just, if they had more like assistance, like somebody that stop gap between accountant and being a data entry person, you know, that right there in the middle, like whether or not if it's a apprenticeship type thing or, you know, going from
a fucking assistant.
They need to bring back more apprenticeships or assistant accountant positions and stuff like that. Like, we need more of those type of things. Like nursing is a huge shortage right now, and that's only a 2-year degree. You get a four year degree. You get a master's. You can pretty much call your shot if you're nursing. Do whatever you want. So,
what's really interesting about nursing is that you got what kind of gets me kind of interested is you got nurse's assistants. Like, I was at home, one of my friends passed away, and I was talking to, like, one of my high school friends. She a nurse's assistant, and I was like, Heather, I said, why aren't you a nurse? I was like, you could easily become a nurse. Like, you can almost do it for free. Yeah. Like, hospitals are paying for it because there's such a shortage.
Yeah.
And she told me, she's like, well, I don't have the time. Or she said, I don't have the time, and I really don't want to be a nurse. Like, I'm terrified of going back to school. Like, I said, you ain't going to school, but neither here or there. But
no disrespect. Disclaimer, no disrespect.
No, disrespect all day. Disrespect all day. I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
The few concerns addressed by Mr. Courtney Smith is not that of the entire podcast of Fuck Your Feelings, even though the podcast is named Fuck Your Feelings. So I guess let me wind that.
Fuck Your Feelings, right. I'm okay. Talking about this shit, okay?
Continue.
I get some shit off my chest right now. And so it was baffling to me, like, you don't wanna be a nurse. Like, you could literally change your life overnight once you do it, because you can, like, the amount of shortage on nurses, like, even script that with the aging population it is, you can make your own schedule, right? Like, I'm like, you could travel. You could be a travel nurse. Like, you could work during the day and go to people's houses and help people who are shutting in, who are sick or elderly that can't get out, that need a nurse. Like, you can make your own hours and make your own, you can make your own cup. I mean, like, and you can, and with the medical billing courses being 6 weeks now, you can get somebody the medical bill for you from their house. You can bring a lot of people with you. So, I don't know.
You can. But, I mean.
What's on your mind?
Yeah, Jeff.
We're about to get free healthcare.
Free healthcare. Fuck free healthcare.
Why would you want free healthcare?
Have you researched Finland, Canada? Like, have you researched the problems that they're facing with this? So, until you do that, you can't talk about fucking free healthcare.
What? Bernie's talking about free healthcare.
Fuck Bernie, too.
Especially like a true Texarkana. Nigga been in Texas 5 years and he already put up a Confederate flag and drink fucking coolers on his front porch.
Coolers?
You drink coolers on your front porch. What the fuck? Where you fucking Levi's at?
So what's wrong with Finland and Canada's healthcare system?
They're crumbling under the pressure of free healthcare.
What do you mean?
So they're like Finland's the fucking president talking about buying fucking Greenland from the Danish, right? Like because they need money like to pay for this healthcare because there's not a like the tax system. You pay so much in taxes to cover the cost of healthcare. Now, not saying that healthcare, they've been around for a long time. They've been doing it for a long time. They want to use that as a social platform. A lot of people refer to it. But there is a cost to it, and there is a struggle, especially like when you go to rural areas, there's no doctors. And people who are in rural areas can't get to the medical facilities. And then they put a strain on top of that. When you're in a bigger city, you put a strain on the medical system because you can't get an appointment. So you can't find a doctor to go to. And so now I'm sick at home because I can't go to the doctor. When I could go to the doctor, today, I'll call my doctor tomorrow. She'll schedule an appointment either Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning. When you're in the healthcare, it's 2 and 3 weeks out. So your baby at home sick and can't get to the doctor. And you're like, shit, I can't take my baby to the doctor because everybody's at the damn doctor. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing.
They don't have urgent care?
Huh?
Like, urgent care no longer exists?
Even if you took them to urgent care, there's no guarantee that you're going to be able to get in because people can go there too.
But, I mean, most doctor's appointments that I've had have always been scheduled 2 to 3 weeks out.
But if you're sick, you can call your doctor and go that day or the next day. Your doctor don't go 3 weeks out.
You can go to the emergency room, yeah.
I'm in Chicago. I haven't been able to get in and see my doctor
because,
the next 2 days.
Because you weren't like, that's one of the downfalls of being in a population. You've been experiencing it and you're not even a free healthcare system. Just think about that. Like, you already experienced it, right? Like, hospitals, yes, you can go to the hospital, but you're not going to be able to go to the hospital because everybody's going to be at the hospital because they can't get in. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, you wind up crumbling the system under this pressure. Like, I'm not saying that people shouldn't have access to healthcare. I think that we should make it affordable, right? And then my friend was like, I think Courtney said this. Courtney was like, give people special options to buy express lanes to the fucking front of the line. Now you are back to a cash society where it's like, oh yeah, well I got money so I can get to the front of the line. Well, I'm still waiting. I'm back to where I started at because I could pay for an express lane. Like no, it's not because when you do a healthcare, when you do free healthcare, you equalize the system. And you're going to give up more of your money out your own pocket to pay for everybody on the system. And we already complain about that now with people who are in need or any of that stuff. We always complain about it like, oh, well, I give out too much in taxes to pay for these people who are on health care and these foreign aids and all this stuff, right? People who are on Medicaid, Medicare, I got to give all this money because the system, these people are on a system. Well, now you're saying, well, I want everybody on the system for health care, but I don't want to give them no more money in taxes. Well, you're going to give up some more money in taxes, buddy, and you're not going to like it. So if you think about like the 24% that some of us pay now in taxes, think about giving up a third of your salary to go for everybody to have free universal health care. Does that make any sense? You like, I can't even get off the 75% that I already have. Now I'm going to give up another. I got to give up another 15%, another 10% to pay for this healthcare system that I'm not going to be able to access, or I don't even need right now because I'm young and I don't want to have access to it because I'm not going to go to the fucking doctor. How do you sell that?
It all depends on who they tax. You know, I think one of the candidates.
You cannot say. Listen, taxing the rich is nothing but taxing the middle class and the poor. Like there's no taxing anybody else. It always gonna come down. The shit rolled downstream. There's absolutely nothing to tax the. Like when you say who you taxing, it doesn't matter. You always taxing the people below the people who you're taxing. Always.
True. Yeah, because they just passed down the tax. Like, oh, they raised my tax then. Okay, well.
Even if you put a sales tax on there, you do anything, it always affects everybody down fucking stream.
So what would be something that would be your solution to this?
I would say make it affordable and provide nonprofit-based folks the ability to sell healthcare and manage healthcare through income-based entry, so that I don't have like I'll throw United Way out there, and I know everybody hates the United Way, but I'm saying United Way is the biggest charity that everybody on this call and everybody in the U.S. probably knows right off rip. The United Way can raise money through gifts and giving and tax-free contributions to help those people who don't have access to healthcare get access to healthcare. And then if they have a really good plan, I can buy into the United Way's plan as a paying person to help augment that thing. So like it's income based. So Say I make $100,000. Well, they say, well, you make $100,000, it costs you 10%, right? So I got to pay $10,000 a year to United Way, which winds up helping everybody on the plan because I'm paying into it, right? And I may not go to the doctor, but make it affordable based on your income and give people access. I believe that you should definitely be able to, get minimum standards on the healthcare though. Like I believe in an annual physical, a couple doctor visits, dental vision should be covered under those plans. Like that is basic, like the basic needs should be covered under the plan.
What about heart transplants?
I'm not saying that should be under the basic coverage under the plan. Like I'm saying like where you can get the plan and it may cover, it's up to the individual insurers to see what they cover. But there are some minimum things that need to be covered under the basic plan.
But do you think transplants should be affordable?
I think everything should be fucking affordable. I think there's a whole bunch of stuff we can do to make stuff affordable. First, we need to cap fucking medical reward payouts. Like, you should not be able to get all this fucking money because the doctor did something, the doctor, you died during surgery, so your family's suing because it was medical malpractice. Like, but I told you that they could die. Like, that standard, as fucked up as it is, that's medical malpractice. Like, medical is not a miracle. Like, it's medical, not miracle, right? And so people want to sue these doctors because they did something. There are some things that I've seen medical malpractice that I'm like, ooh, that's fucked up. But I don't know if it's worth $10 million.
Well, I mean, I do. Like, look at the situation that was with Dr. Death, that this guy was going around completing surgeries and he leaving people maimed and killed. And he
that is gross negligence, and I think that counts as something that you should get cost for. But that's what medical malpractice is for. Like, for that. Not because I did surgery on you, and then what happened is I sewed you up, and then the sutures came loose, and now you want to sue me because you had internal bleeding, you had to go have surgery again. That's not medical malpractice.
Well, see, like, you file for a lawsuit for that. Most lawsuit cases don't get heard for that, or they get paid.
But that's
very rare they get paid. And if they got paid, it was because that doctor didn't follow a procedure that he wrote out and said he wasn't going to follow. Whether regardless it was what happened or not, and it could have been all on.
But I'm saying, like, that person would have got $100,000, and that's ridiculous.
If the doctor was found negligent, the doctor was found negligent. It had to be something that doctor was doing in order to be found.
I don't have a problem with paying for mistakes, but there should be a cap on it. Because the doctor should not be, like, people shouldn't be getting rich off these medical procedures when in turn, there is no real detriment to them sometimes, right? I'm not saying that there's not every, I'm not talking about every single case. I'm talking about the ones where you hear some of the facts, you like, okay, like.
Well, I mean, you hear the facts, and you figure if they settled out of court, there must have been enough information to say, hey, this doctor did something that we can get you on to get to that point. Now, a cap.
No, the insurance company settled out of court because they don't want to go in front of fucking jury.
I mean, it's cheaper if they can settle out of court for the insurance company. But a cap is saying, like, you know, if you start capping something, then something, like, if you cap one incident, that may, a gross negligent incident may fall under that now president cap.
And No. You can always exceed the cap, but you should cap most incidents, right? Like, there shouldn't be no, the jury war should be capped. Not for everything, because the jury, listen to what I'm saying. If we feel like this is gross, like, I agree with you. Like, if a doctor is fucking missing procedures and being gross negligent, you should be able to exceed beyond the cap. But only in those situations when you have determined that it is gross negligence. The doctor fell asleep and sold his hand upside your pussy or something. I'm like, gross negligence. He attached your ear to your forehead. Like, gross negligence.
So my thing is, how can you make a cap on something that is like, it's random? Like, each case is its own case. So, like, how do you put a cap on something like that?
Because some of the rewards are ridiculous. Like, every single time the jury award goes up because of something ridiculous. Like these are standard. These things happen in the medical world that happens on a regular basis, and it's no fault to the doctor. Okay. You know, no fault to the doctor. It just, the situation was fucked up, and now there, you know, you have some type of deformity or some type of, and they're like, malpractice, hospital, somebody did something wrong. But really, they didn't. They did everything they supposed to, but the jury pay out this money to these people for this amount of, for these damn ridiculous settlements. Like, ridiculous settlements. I think you need to cap jury award, because they do that in Australia, and they're not complaining about healthcare. Like, their healthcare is affordable because they cap fucking jury rewards.
Yeah, but they got like a whole different infrastructure government system that's the reason, you know, life is a lot better than what we're living at right now. So that could coincide with why they cap jury rewards or what, you know. I mean, I don't totally disagree.
I think we need to be
ambulance chasing, trying to get a quick buck. Yeah, some people are just like, hey, look, this happened to me, and I want to sue you for everything and then some because you should have did better. Like, I put my trust in you. You should have did better. So you owe me $13 million because that's what I feel I work. I mean, I do get some of these are egregious when they are requesting funds for things that happen that, like you said, just everyday occurrence. I mean, medical science is at best, is best guess at best, right?
Yes.
Like, nothing is certain. So, yeah, some of these numbers are astronomical. I also think at some time that the, you know, it's a sort of a checks and balance for some of these doctors as well to say, hey, a possible lawsuit, if you're not doing everything by the code, by the book, by the procedure, this lawsuit can come up in your hand, which most doctors don't get in trouble anyway because they wrote a neck clause. So it's really the hospital that suffers.
Right. And then you got people. Jeff, you brought this up.
Yeah.
Comment?
No, I'm really not too well versed in the medical field, so not at all. I didn't know Bernie cares about free health care.
So what do you feel about free health care?
I just feel like that's going to somehow make me pay more money.
So it will.
It's not going to be what it's supposed to be.
Why do you feel like that?
I don't trust it. I just don't trust Bernie. I don't trust him.
So... But political affiliation aside, why don't you like free healthcare? Like, what don't you trust about it?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it because I haven't read it in depth. I listened to the debates, and with the debates, I listen to both sides. One person saying, like, you know, yes, free healthcare is a good right. It should be everyone's right to have healthcare. But
they throw that bullshit out to these people like it's a right. It's not guaranteed in the fucking Constitution.
Bernie thinks it's a right.
But no one ever said that you don't have a right to have health care.
That don't mean, but there's no right if you don't have a right to it. If it's not expressly said in the damn Constitution, it is not a right.
Well, what I'm saying is who's saying you can't have health care right now?
Nobody said you can't.
Yeah,
you gotta afford it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's another problem, but you can't have health care.
That's the current situation right now, then.
You can sign up for a plan.
I think people use these sound bites to make it sound good, but it doesn't sound good. Mm-hmm. Like you have a right to free, you have a right to have health care.
Yeah.
We have given people the right based on Hippocratic Oath, right? Like, a doctor can't refuse to service you. Like, you go to the hospital, they gotta treat you regardless if you got health care or not.
Thought you gotta have insurance.
No, you don't have to have insurance.
The hospital right now, fall out. They gotta keep you. Gotta get you stable.
Yeah, they gotta take care of you, and that's a drain on the system. Neither here nor there. I don't talk about it, but
then they will have to charge. They can charge you and basically bankrupt you or take your house.
Well, I mean, what they're gonna do is if you go in there, say like a homeless person go in there and fall out, and they gotta have a 3-day stay because of whatever illness they have, right? What they're gonna do is some of that money is going to be on funds they already set aside for this sort of thing. Some of it's going to be tax write-offs because it's going to be charitable givings. Another money is going to be, well, Jeff, you came in there with a sprained wrist, and your x-ray that was normally $500 is not going to be $12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then they charge you for extra sheets and shit that you ain't used.
Yeah.
That's how they – I tell you that I know healthcare is a bunch of BS, right, and it's cost so much. It's because – people can negotiate. Like, somebody was in the hospital, had surgery. One of my friend's bosses had surgery, and his bill was like $500,000. He has negotiated that bill to half the cost.
That's why you should always look at your bills when you're having procedures, because some of them things on there, you'd be like, I didn't even have a TV in my room. Why are you charging me $150 a day for, like, basic channels that I didn't even have in my room? Like,
why are you
charging me for 8 catheters when I had none? Like, so sometimes you got to read that stuff. And even then, like, what they send you and what they send your insurance company would be a totally different bill sometimes. Like, your insurance company would negotiate the hell out of the deal. I had that happen. I sent them one that all of a sudden they were charging me $5,000 and then they were charging the insurance company $1,100. So it's like, no, now it's good. When you were sending it to me, it's one thing, but now the insurance company got involved, it's good. You ain't worried about the damn money, huh? So.
I heard that once you once they're about to send a collection, if you offer them half the money, then they'll take it. Or a collection, or maybe it's that collection. A collection will take.
Well, collections is just they already bought the debt, so they just
Get back. They get pennies on. They bought it for pennies on a dollar, so, right. So they any money they make back is win for them,
right?
Because they bought it like you got a $5,000 debt. They probably bought it for $500. I looked into debt collection. As part of like when I was doing taxes to see like to do debt collection, like what that entailed. And man, I tell you, it's some work, but it is people are idiots because you could literally because the debt's been transferred does not give you now that contract is no longer valid.
So, what contract?
Would between you and like say you owe American Express, right? Yeah. And American Express has sold your debt to somebody else. You no longer owe a debt because that money has been transferred and a new contract has been had that you are not a part of. And so you don't have to pay.
You can
literally call American Express and say, listen, remove this from my credit report because you have been paid for this debt because you have transferred it to collections.
And they have. They've been paid. Now, the debt collector is going to come after you, but you're going to be saying, I never agreed to pay you.
My agreement was
between you and American Express because you decided, because they sold that over to you, you ain't telling me. I didn't agree.
Your debt has been settled with American Express.
So my business is done with American Express. Now they may come after you, send you collections, go to court hearing, but you find out.
You be like, I didn't have that. I don't owe that money to them. Like I never owe that to them. Well, they bought it from American Express. They have a contract with American Express. American Express owe them. I mean, I don't owe American Express anymore. They paid them.
Yeah. See, I have found out about that, but I was wondering how true that actually was.
I would run up a credit card bill and never have to pay it off, like to go to the collection and be like, oh well.
Awesome. Yeah.
There's two types of collections, so you gotta be careful. Because there's internal collections that is still with the American with the credit card company.
Right.
Then there's sold collections where they sold it to somebody else.
So American Express sold it to Courtney and Courtney debt collectors. Mm-hmm. And now I'm calling you and say, hey, man, speak to Jeffrey Howard. Yeah, Jeffrey. So, we got this debt collection here from, it seems like American Express, and it was up with charges of $1,060. Would you be able to make that payment today? And then you'd be like, well, no, I can't afford it. Well, what we could do, Jeffrey, we give you 50% right now off if you decide.
No. I accept a payment plan.
$34. Payment plan.
$34, you can pay it off in such and such amount of time, right? And then they say, well, and you're like, I can't afford $34. Well, what can you afford? I can afford $10 a month. Well, pay me $10 a month.
Yeah.
And that's the shit that, that's when you were at the debt collector. But when you were inside the in-house debt collection, you have no ability to, you can negotiate because they want to make money because they're going to lose more money if they, because if they pay, if you say this, right? If you got $1,000 you owe them, and you pay the shit to American Express, you will have and you say, okay, I give you American Express, pay me $1,000, $250 for the next 4 months, right? That's better for them because they've got it, right? But if they go to a debt collector, they're gonna get $100.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they lost $900. And then a debt collector will get more money because he said, well, give me $500. And he's made $400. So American Express is looking like, any money I can get from you is better than me not getting any money from you.
And you got to remember, Americans
going into debt collection.
Huh?
We need to go into debt collection.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I've been thinking about this for quite a while. But like American Express rather have you, any organization rather have you in a payment plan because A, they're making money off your interest and your principal, and B, you're giving them more capital every month to invest your money in.
And the benefit is they get to write that shit off anyway for uncollectible debt. Anyway.
So you're just paying double time with something you already paid. That's why students are such a big scam.
Yeah. What I love about debt though is that you can fuck a company up though. Like everybody, if you truly want to fuck somebody up, I've done this, right? When I was younger and I had an American Express and I ran the shit up, you know, and I didn't pay it off the next month. And I remember the debt collector called me the next day, right?
American Express internal?
Yeah, no. This is American Express internal. They have charged it off, right? They have charged it off. So now it's no, like, legitimately, they have written it off to the government, right? And so you no longer owe it because they have charged it off, right? I called them and paid it the next day, right? And they were mad as hell.
Right. Wow.
They got to do a whole bunch of reverse accounting. It's so much money for them to fucking uncharge it off. Like I called and I said, "They're like, we charged it off. You don't have to pay." I said, "No, I'm paying it. Like, take my payment." And I paid them, and they were like, "No, we don't. Take my payment and then take it off my credit report." They were so mad. They had to do so much. They got to do so much fucking accounting to fucking get that money back because they've already written it off. And they have already charged it off as a part of their fiscal, like all that shit, and because they said it was uncollectible. Well, I let them. They collected it, so now they got to fucking do the work to fucking say that they didn't. They got to remove it from your credit report. Like they immediately removed that shit. Like it's crazy, like how you can fuck a company over just by letting them get to the point where they charge it off. Like, okay, and then they're now remove that whole thing from my credit report.
Yeah.
But debt collection is where it is. Like I'm telling you where the two things are where it is. If people want to make money, I'm gonna tell you how to make money for yourself. Debt collecting for other people. So you need a little bit of money to make it, right? Because you gotta buy these debts up, right? And it's good to buy debt from like small firms.
Yeah.
And sometimes debt transfers hands two or three times. Yeah. Because like a law firm, like so what happens is the internal company has it. And then they outsource it to an external company.
Yeah.
And then these small law firms buy it up. If you can buy debt for pennies on a dollar, like pennies on top of pennies, like because everybody's like, well, shit, I can't collect this, so the person won't return my call, right? And then you finally get to that part where they got a decent job and they want to clear their credit, they want to clear stuff off, and they want to pay. And you probably pay $30 for the fucking debt. And you wind up getting $500-$600. It's a real win. The second is consumer protection. So, there are so many companies violating the consumer protection laws that you can make a shitload of money. For example, are you all on a do not call registry list?
Yes.
Okay. Do you get robocalls on your cell phone?
All the time.
So every infraction, they are supposed to pay up to $1,500 per infraction. After two minimum, so they have to have two minimum to pay. So every time they call, that's $1,500, right? So every time they call you, it's got to be the same people. It can't be like the whole group. It's got to be the same person, right? So like Healthcare United calls you today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Well, they owe you $4,500.
Whether because I answer or
you gotta answer because it don't matter if they answer or not, but you gotta know, you gotta answer to get the information because you don't know it's United Healthcare, right?
Okay.
Because they call you from a random number, right? But you can get that's $4,500, right? And it is simple as sending a letter demanding your money, right? And then they can try some scare tactics and whatever. That don't matter. But literally, Consumer Report, if you think about it, if you can handle that for somebody because they don't know how to do it, you can make money off of it.
That's true.
Because all you have to do is send a letter on their behalf, right?
Yeah.
When they mail a letter to you, you know what I'm saying? When they mail a letter to you, because you're gonna have them mail it to you, and then you have a contract with them. You can take money from like whatever you get from them. That's what attorneys, law offices do a lot, like to make them back and like make ends meet. They do these consumer reports, like I receive A, B, and C. Like, there's so many different laws that you can do. Like, when you hear about, like, recalls, right? Like these consumer protection recalls. Because some law office researched it, and because somebody complained, and some law office is like, you know what? We can go after them. And they go after them, get a recall, and they get money for stuff like that. Like, that's a consumer protection. It's a lot of research. It's a lot of waiting, but it's good money in it. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, second, you know, income or, you know, second driven way to drive revenue for yourself. That is a good way. And then taking nothing more, I mean, hell, at some point, you're going to have a letter already, a template. Mm-hmm. So just plug in names at this point.
And I mean, there's like text messages. It does not apply to political calls though. Like I get a lot of those. That don't apply to that. But
dang.
Any type of solicitations or anything like that.
People, I'm tired of calling me. Damn, uh-huh. Car warranty. I'm so sick.
Yeah, car warranty. Yeah, all that. They call you randomly.
Michigan police keeps calling me.
Frank caller. I don't know who this is. Who's this other person on the podcast with us? Thank God.
I said Michigan police.
Yeah, don't double down on this shit. I heard you the first time.
So I'm just saying, like, debt collection and consumer report violations is a moneymaker. It's just that debt collection, you need a little bit of money, which you can make from your consumer reports.
But how the
to buy debt.
If I buy someone else's debt, how the hell am I... Let's see, if I buy someone else's debt, how the hell do I think that someone else is going to pay me more money?
That's why debt collectors are nasty and harasses people, right?
You make you feel so uncomfortable. It's like, oh, let me hurry up and give them something.
Yeah, because what you got to do is, I think the situation is that debt collectors are really nasty and really mean, and people are like, fuck them. Like, I'm not paying them shit. I think if you take a different approach to it, you may be able to collect. You know what I'm saying? I think if you listen, Sarah, you know, I'm calling about this debt. I know you don't want me calling you. You know, let's work on something that we can do. You know what I'm saying? You know, what? How can we help you pay this debt off? You know what I'm saying?
We'll see.
Or you tell them, like, listen, if you make 10 payments of this amount of money, right? You make 10 payments of $34. We wipe the rest of your debt clean.
I bought that shit for $30.
You know what I'm saying?
$40. Okay, cool.
You know what I'm saying? You make 10 payments, we wipe your debt clean. You good.
Or you like when they be like, oh, I'm not paying you, fine. Then come, okay, well, court action is going to be taken. And then it takes nothing to file a petition in the small claims court. And then mm-hmm. you get court notice. I mean, once the petition is filed and it's accepted, you get a court notice. Most people start paying then because they don't want to go to court, or they don't go to court and then they win by default.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of work that you got to do. That's why a lot of companies buy a lot of debt, because it's a lot. It's gambling a little bit. It's a little bit of gamble, because right. You mess with the general public. Like, you don't know, you know what I'm saying? you don't know if you're going to get something or not. So it's that, and that's why you get different debt collectors calling you, because the amount of debt that had many times that changed hands. Yeah. Because what we, like, between the three of us, right? I could buy a debt. I could buy a high price debt, right? So you got a $5,000 debt and I pay $500 for it, right? I didn't turn around and sell it to you for $250, and then he turned around and sell it to you for $175, right? And you like, shit, okay, let's see what I can collect, right? Well, I lost a little bit of money. I could write that off. Courtney write his off, and you at the bottom of the thing, you like, shit, I'm going to keep calling because I can get the, if I can get them to make 10 payments of $1,750, I made my money back.
Right. Like, you know, I also want to do the payday advance law.
Ooh, y'all, that's a rip advance.
Off. Huh?
I don't think they
pay back on those.
You said have my what? So,
I said, do people pay those back?
Yeah.
Some people do. So a lot of people do.
The problem is,
it's legal long sharking.
Yeah, it is. It's a vicious cycle because, okay, it's like, well, fine, you can borrow $700, but you got to pay me back in 2 weeks. And now that $700 I loaned you is now like $787, or it's like $800.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I had to borrow $800 from you 2 weeks ago, more times than not, I don't have $800 to give you again. So now it's like, okay, well, let me borrow half that amount back. But it's still like a 38% interest rate on any loan. So you pay me back, say I own you. You owe me $800. You gave me $800, but you need to borrow $400 back. So I've already made what, $100 off you? Fine. Here, go take this other $400 back. I got my $400 back.
No. My favorite part is that they offer you like other incentives, right? Like after you have five payday loans with us, you can then take out a loan that is not backed by payday, right? Like you get 30-day loans, right? Because like right now it's every 2 weeks, right? Then you get five loans with us. You like, well, now you can take out a 30-day loan. You know what I'm saying? And now it's cost you more. You're like, ooh, I can't wait. Like, how long do I get? And you're like, we can give you $1,000 on an advance for 30 days. And then you like, but I got to pay $1,250.
Well, if I give you this back, I got to get $1,250. But, like, I still need some of that, right? Like, it ain't like I'm just getting a lump. Some people... What they might have got a bonus check, so it's like here, take it, get out of my life, right? Most people ain't like that, so it's like
I wanted to own it. I wanted to pay the advance.
So I wanted to do a payday advance.
You need money though. You need a lot of money.
You need at least probably like $500,000 startup. But
you do.
I never looked into buying a franchise, but I wonder how much it is to franchise.
I still think somebody got to finance it though. Like, let's see.
Part of a business loan.
I don't know.
But you're taking a debt to get. I don't know. I don't like that.
I mean, I don't know if I would, because now you still relying on the general public to pay you back your money, right? Like you still want. So that means you yourself are now indebted to the bank forever, however much that loan interest is. You still got to make that payment every month, regardless if you get your money back or not. So that's the deal with the loan from the bank. But like to do local ones, so like do quick ones. If you had like, say, if you had like $100,000 to spare, and you say I don't want to do no more than like five, I mean, you need that money to back it. But like, say you do it,
yeah.
I mean, think about
you need $500,000 to $600,000 to start it.
Yeah. So, but you just constantly making the interest, and you just living off people's interest.
I was looking at peer to peer lending.
Peer to peer lending.
One called Prosper, and the other one called Lending Club.
Peer to peer lending, I don't think it's so much just to gouge you like pay the advance. Peer to peer lending is actually just to try to help small business owners make ends meet. Now, don't get me wrong, they still are collecting interest, but like I don't think it's at like. Ass-raping, astronomical interest that, like, payday advance people pay. Like, a payday advance loan is, like, something ridiculous every 2 weeks of the interest you pay.
That's not good. Okay.
But, peer-to-peer, it's still money you, like, say right now, Jeff, you have $30,000 that you just like, it's just sitting here, right? It's in a money market account and making decent interest. Well, I got five businesses, each need a $5,000 loan each that I want to give them 2% on the loan payback over a 30-day period. So you just making money on top of money. I mean, granted, it is a risk. Don't get me wrong. It's still a risk.
They're going to pay it back, though.
It's a risk that they're going to pay it back. I mean, you guys go to collections to try to get your money back, small claims court. But that's why, like, Shark Tank, they loan you money, but they take a percentage of your company. Right? Because if you don't pay me back my money, I still own your company. So whatever profit your company makes, then I'm making money off your company. And they also legal tie. That's just like a real simplistic way of saying it. But like, I'm not also percentage. So you could do that kind of business anywhere. It's like, okay, you have this business. I'm going to loan you $50,000 at a 6-month payoff at the end, but I'm gonna take 10% until I get my money back of your company. So I mean, I'm recouping. So it gives you incentive to pay me back as fast as you can because you don't want to keep giving me 10% of your profits every month.
Right.
Like Mr. Wonderful.
You can just hold on to my money, huh?
Mr. Wonderful.
Ew.
He was making those deals. He was like, I'm going to give you $250,000, and every time you sell a unit, you're going to give me $100 until I make my money back. Then I will lower my equity to 5% of the company or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways. I mean, there's money to be got out here. It may be very, like, if we got any money in the bank, it may be advantageous for us to start something because the economy is cooling.
Yeah,
and people are going to be struggling.
Yeah, you know, I heard we're going into a recession.
We are.
I don't know if it's a recession per se. I would definitely say a slowdown, and not a recession, which is just a fancy word for a recession. But
I mean, recession. Yeah, that's what
it's really like. I'm trying not to say like it's a recession because recession is hard. Like.
Recession has the negative connotation. You think of the Great Depression, or you think of like about 10 years ago when you think recession. But recessions happen all the time. Like it's just the ebbs and flows of business. You just don't feel it as hard because some recession, like the housing crisis, there's always something on top of another thing that causes it to be like this massive thing. Like, so in the 20s, we had the Great Depression. Well, the stock market crash on top of a slow business cycle ended up with less money being made and coming off a war, so you had less employment. That's what compounded on having this such a be like a huge recession. 10 years ago, the same thing: housing market crashed, businesses, big business was failing, bank loans was coming to do. So that's what made it so like heavy, so that everybody felt it.
Right.
So that's what we had the upswing, right?
I knew it was coming because like the Dow Jones was going fucking crazy. It was up like 900 points, 1,000 points, 1,200 points. Like, I'm like, oh, it's coming down. What goes up must come down.
And you got to remember, a lot of these things are based off estimates. Like, this is an estimate of what we think we're going to do based off the past trends of this market and time, the date. This is where we're at. But you know the numbers can't stay at 900. Like, while we're making that much money, we're like $4 trillion in debt.
I don't see the economy getting. I see the market, the housing market is going to come down. It's coming down. So if you, I would say start saving money now to buy a house. If you're going to buy something,
right?
For Jeff and I, like, I wouldn't buy any more. I wouldn't buy another house. I was about to buy a house a few months ago. I thank God I didn't, because I'd have been upside down on my house. And so,
property's going up, and it's like property around here is higher than I ever paid.
It's fine. Like, that's good, but it's going to come down. Like right now, it's trending up, right? Because shit hasn't hit the fan, but it's going to come down. Because, like, my house is already coming down. Like last year, like, my house was, like, 298, and I've already lost $40,000.
Dang.
Like, I had my house appraised because I was going through this tax thing with the tax people, and my house was priced for $259.
Oh.
And I'm just saying, like housing is the housing market is definitely trending down, like, because people aren't, like, people, first off, the, like, you got two things. Like, if you think about my earlier comment, right, you got a talent shortage, right? You remember, right. I talked about the talent shortage?
Yeah.
And then you got an economic slowdown that's happening, right? Yeah. So you got all these jobs that are created that nobody can fulfill, right? So people can't do shit that they need to do, right? So, like, if I can't make a widget because I don't have the people to make the widget, I can't sell a fucking widget. So then I can't buy other shit because I can't sell the widget. So it's all that interconnection. And so it's a weird place to be because normally you have a job shortage that turns the people can't buy anything. Well, now you have a talent shortage where people can't make shit or do shit or service shit because of the market. So we don't have people to make. We don't have people to make it. So I can't effectively run my business at the capacity that the demand is asking for. So for like, let's take a car. Okay, I need to make 10,000 cars a day to keep up with demand, right? Okay. But I don't have the people to make the cars. I only can make 5,000 cars with the people I have. I'm losing money. Yeah. I'm losing money because I don't have people. So this is actually an odd situation for America to be in, where you have a talent shortage because you're going to have a recession because you don't have the talent to make that happen.
Right.
It's a weird place to be.
Never sell your house.
No.
Never sell your house. Rent your house. You move. Rent your house. Don't sell your house.
Yeah.
Because in your area, because of what's coming to your area and because of how your area is starting to gentrify, your property is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, I'm part of that.
It's going to come down, but on that backswing is coming back up. Oh, yeah. It's going to be like Wicker Park all over again.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what sucks, though. Like, during a recession, I'm scared to rent to anyone because they might fall into the can't pay me. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to get you out of here.
You just stay wherever, but you got to remember, you are the lake.
Yeah.
You are major highways, you off transit line. Cause what's that? The green line over there by you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you buy those three things that are booming. Now with the presidential library coming over there with you, with gentrification happening in your neighborhood, next 10 years your property is gonna skyrocket. That's my opinion. I mean, that's just based off my lonely opinion, but I feel I would always rent in your area. I would never sell in your area.
Yeah.
Unless some developer come in and offer you like $8 million, then okay, yeah, sell.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think about selling at that point. All right, fellas. What else we got to talk about?
You can stop recording. I think we had a good episode.
Yeah. More educational for me. Thank you to everyone.
Well, thank you guys for another wonderful episode. I'll holler at y'all later. I'm gonna stop recording now.